And now, reading and writing and radio.
'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, that claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird, and shun the frumious Bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand. Long time the maxome foe he sought. So rested he by the tum-tum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in uffish thought he stood, the Jabberwock with eyes of flame came whiffling through the tulgey wood, and burbled as it came. 1-2, 1-2, and through the vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with its head he went galumphing back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy. O frabjous day, calloo, callay, he chortled in his joy. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe.
That was Jabberwocky by Lewis Carroll, as found in Alice Through the Looking Glass. But it could be by you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host for the program is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
'Twas brillig. What an odd poem Jabberwocky is. You can't tell what it's saying. The words come out all wrong, as everything does for Alice in Through the Looking Glass. Or do they? What can we tell from Jabberwocky? 'Twas brillig and the slithy toves, did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves and the mome raths outgrabe. Now those mome raths could be something reaching out to grab you, or it could just be something exuding sweet perfume. But we definitely do know that we're being given a scene and that something is definitely doing something. Well, now we get a speaker. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. And from here on, it's fairly clear. Except, of course, we don't know what sort of monster the Jabberwock is. We just know that we should shun him, and that he is dangerous, and that the hero takes his vorpal sword in hand and finds the Jabberwock, who with eyes of flame came whiffling through the tulgey wood and burbled. And then he slays the Jabberwock. He goes back to the speaker of the poem, and the speaker says, "Come to my arms, my beamish boy, O frabjous day, calloo, callay." You see, there's been a triumph, a victory, an occasion for joy. It's not just been a good day, or a great day, but a frabjous day, a very, very special day. In the manual for this series, I began this particular program with a chorus from Gilbert and Sullivan. Here's my old and scratchy record. We all love Gilbert and Sullivan around our house. Let's hear this chorus.
Oh, don't the days seem lank and long when all goes right and nothing goes wrong? And isn't your life extremely flat when you've nothing whatever to grumble at?
Oh, don't the day seem lank and long when all goes right and nothing goes wrong? And isn't your life extremely flat when you've nothing whatever to grumble at? There's my old scratchy voice, too. But I love to sing, and I never think that just because you don't do something particularly well is any excuse for not doing it. That song is the other side of the coin. To the singer, and to Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh, and to any number of people or characters that you could probably name, no day is frabjous unless there's something to grumble at. That the day where all goes right and nothing goes wrong, that's not the frabjous day. It's the day where everything goes wrong and they've got plenty to grumble at. That's their joy. And so if that is their joy, why, we want to include all kinds. I was down in Missouri recently, being a writer in the schools, and the kids listened to some of these programs before I ever came, and they wrote like you do. and when I was there, we did all sorts of other stuff. But I told them that I still had this program to record on Ophrabjus Day, and I'd be glad for their ideas. And we talked about Frabjous days and what made them Frabjous, and a number of kids wrote about their Frabjous days. One I particularly liked was by a boy. Let me tell you about him, because it makes you understand his story better. He's a fifth or sixth grader. Now, some people have a handicap, say, of loss of hearing or stuttering or have to be in a wheelchair. And Jeff had a handicap, too. The teachers told me about it when he wasn't in my class on my second day there. And that is that he has a rage fuse in him that is quickly ignited, and he can't control it. He goes up like a barn afire in his anger. And when he's in one of these blind furies, he's so out of control that he can't be in the class. And so that day he had spent the entire morning sitting in the principal's office cooling off. Now, the sad thing is that the other kids know this about Jeff, and they like to see him get mad because his face gets beet red and the veins in his neck stand out like ropes and his eyes nearly pop out of his head, and he yells and he strikes out, and they, well, some of them anyway, think that this is funny. And so they say the things or do the things that they know will light Jeff's fuse. So instead of helping him to overcome his problem, they're aggravating it dreadfully. It's pretty cruel. But people are cruel to each other, and grown-ups too, not just children. Anyway, under the circumstances, you can believe that Jeff doesn't have very many friends, that he has a hard time making and keeping friends. I talked to him quite a bit while I was there, not about what I've told you, and I found that he was really a very sweet kid. I didn't see him in one of his angers. But anyway, here is his story. June 26, 1976 was my most frabjous day. It was the day I went to Camp Rama. The first day was pure frab. After a real good flight, I got in a not-so-crowded bus to camp. I got out and saw about 300 people. They were all talking to each other. Then some people came up to me. In less than 10 seconds, I had made some friends. They showed me my bunk. I had a lower bunk. Others were there already. I unpacked and went out to make some more friends. I knew then that I was going to have a great summer. Not only is it meaningful, knowing Jeff's background, but it's well written. And I love the way he's taken Lewis Carroll's O Frabjous Day and made the word his own. Actually, he's coined a new word when he says the first day was pure frab. If I had the manual to write over again, I wouldn't title this program what I did. I'd call it Pure Frab. Here's another, by another Jeff. It was a night before my most miserable day. The vet said my poodle wouldn't live another day. The week before, we took him to the office. I didn't sleep a wink all that night. First, I got up to go to the bathroom. Then I got up to get some water. Then I started crying. When I woke up, I was scared to ask my mom if my dog was living. I did, and she said the doctor hadn't been to his office yet. At 3 o'clock, we got a call. The doctor said he is peppy and fine. I was so happy, I said, thank God for this frabjous day. You notice that both the Jeffs' frabjous days were preceded by misery. I told you the misery of the first Jeff, and the second Jeff tells us in his paper about his dog's illness. Often our frabjous days, or our frabjous moments, occur after misery, when something has happened to change the misery. Friends, the recovering dog. Here's one where there doesn't seem to be any misery of that sort. Stan writes, my frabjous day was when I got my bicycle. I was so happy that it brought tears to my eyes. That night I rode it, and all the next day I rode it all day. I particularly like about that one that Stan can say that he got tears in his eyes and not be ashamed. He's out of the stereotyped box that says that it's not manly to show tears. So, bravo, Stan. Here's another Jeff yet. There were lots of Jeffs in that particular class. We woke up at 7 o'clock and arrived at Six Flags at opening. I ran through the gate, and to my surprise, there was a sign that said the Screaming Eagle was broken. I had fun anyway. Then at 5:30, I was walking by the Screaming Eagle, and I saw people in the line. It was open. I got in line. I waited an hour and a half. Finally, I was there. I got the very last seat. It was the best roller coaster ride I'd ever been on. That was one of my most frabjous days. And lest you think there were no girls in that class, Momi Chang has written a poem. Today was a wonderful day. Not good, nor great, nor glorious, but today was a frabjous day, 'cause the birds were feasting on our bread. They were feasting on our bread. Today was a wonderful day today, 'cause today was a frabjous day. I like this one because she says that a small thing can be frabjous. A wide joy, and frabjous is a wide word, a flinging the arms out word, don't you think? A wide joy can be caused by a small thing, and you may react by sitting very still and quiet and watching and feeling all that frabjousness in a glow inside of you. The birds were feasting on our bread. I wish I could read them all to you. One girl said she'd never had a frabjous day, but she predicted it would be her 16th birthday when she'd have a big party and friends and get her driver's permit. Another titled his, A Close to Frabjous Day, and then he wrote a terrific paper on all the good things that happened, and the thing that made it not quite a frabjous day was that he had to go to bed at 10 o'clock. I talked with my daughter, Demi, about frabjous days while I was driving her back to college the other day, and it was really a pretty frabjous trip, chatting peacefully with her in the car and watching the sun go down off to our right. It was a blazing orange ball. There were no clouds. It seemed to rest right on the horizon forever, and the snow was glittering red gold, and there was the contrast of all the black, bristly, bushy winter trees with that ball of sun behind them, shining through them, now almost clear with just a few trees and now almost obscured by a whole black thicket, but still that gold pouring through the bristly black. My heart was pure frab. And Demi told me how she had felt when she had been driving north in Illinois and had done something we'd always talked about doing. She had stopped her little car and had climbed to the top of a slag heap, one of those great piles of slag taken out of the old mines. And she had sat on the top of that slag heap, looking out over the Illinois prairie, and had written a poem. She had stayed up there probably for about an hour from her high perch on top of the slag heap, and her heart at that time, she said, had been pure frab. And I recalled with her a day last February. I wrote it up in my journal, and it's too long to read, but I'll tell you about it because it was a time that I did not think was going to be frabjous at all. It was a nasty day. It was dreary. It was chilly. It had melted a little so that there was water around with the snow. It was a sloppy February, cold, windy, horrid sort of day. But Demi felt that she wanted to go out for a walk. And she insisted on going out for a walk, and since I had dragged her out for walks ever since she was in diapers, I figured the least I could do would be to go along with her. Well, we started out by stopping at the library out at my university, and she picked up some books on Eskimo songs. And as we came out of the library and climbed into the car and it was almost dark, why, I thought inside, aha, we're not going to go for this walk because Demi has spent so much time in the library. And like a horse heading back for the barn, I headed the car toward home. And Demi said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Home." And she said, "What about our walk?" And so I resignedly turned the car around, and we headed back toward Lake Springfield. And we parked along a little spit, and we walked along the beach, and the wind blew, and the waves were choppy, and everything was very cold, and I was very cold, and I was very miserable. And Demi said, "This isn't enough space to walk. Let's find some more space." So we drove a little further, and we came to a field and parked the car in the field, the edge of the field, and started out across the field. The snow made hummocks. The dead grass made hummocks. There were little rivulets of water in between. We had on our boots. We pulled our coats tight around us, and we began tramping across this field in the dusk. And the further we went, the better I began to feel. We would climb up hills. We would go through little thickets. We went on and on and on in a great circle until we finally came back to the car. And I had gotten warm. It was now almost completely dark. We couldn't tell any longer where the water was, so that sometimes we were stepping in water and sometimes in snow and sometimes on the dry grass. But there was something about that invigorating walk in that miserable weather, with the pleasure of Demi enjoying it, that got me enjoying it too. And I was really sorry when we got back and close to the car and our walk was over. And I've always remembered that day last winter as a frabjous day because Demi insisted that I take a walk that I didn't want to take. And last week was frabjous because I wrote a story that made me glad after a long dry spell. And yesterday was frabjous because I helped somebody else write a story just by saying, "And then what happened?" And as she told me, I wrote it down. And as we neared the end, we were both feeling the exultant joy and excitement of creation. And what a joy that is. My joy was in her joy of creation, and her joy was discovering that she could do it. She's a woman in her late 20s or early 30s, and as we got near the end, she stopped suddenly and she said, "Jackie, all my life I've thought there was nothing special about me, nothing worth saying, that I was just an ordinary person. And now, and her eyes filled up with tears. She had suddenly realized that she was an interesting person with worthwhile things to say that other people would want to hear and that other people would benefit from. It made her day frabjous. It made my day frabjous. And I'm still in the glow of it. Rosie's gaining of self-confidence, what pure, pure frab." Tell us, what was your frabjous day?
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.